If you ever had to tackle a large job, an overwhelming job, you've had to learn the basic principle that if you want to get anywhere with it, you have to break it down into little jobs, manageable pieces. And you tackle the pieces bit by bit by bit, and after a while you find the job gets done. It requires having a large overview so you know how to break it down into manageable pieces. But when you actually do the work, it's focused on the little bits and pieces. This job we have here of tackling suffering is the same sort of thing. It seems overwhelming. You can think of it as this huge, big mass, and the Buddha sometimes talks about it as this mass of suffering. Because that's how most of us experience it, especially when it gets really big, when it really weighs down on the mind. But the whole purpose of discernment is to be able to break it down into little pieces so you can see how it's constructed. And to see how it doesn't have to be constructed. This is what the Buddha's teachings on the five aggregates, the six sense spheres, the four of the six properties, dependent core arising. They're all designed to take suffering and to break it down into manageable pieces. And the reason we call this discernment, just that, its ability to see subtle distinctions, because the pieces are subtle and the distinctions between them are subtle. This is why we have to practice concentration as a basis for this kind of discernment. If your mind isn't really still, if your awareness isn't really sharp and quick, you're going to miss all these things. Everything gets glommed together. It's all right here. But if you don't see the distinctions, it's going to stay just a big lump right here, a big mass right here in the present moment. Say, for instance, you're feeling a sense of depression, a sense of sadness. There's a physical side to it, and there's the mental side. And the mental side is made up of lots of little thoughts that are all glommed together. And so the Buddha recommends you take it apart in terms of the khandhas, in terms of the aggregates. Look for the feeling, and then look for the perception, an important perception, saying this is my suffering, this is happening to me, which may be true, but you don't have to think it. It's an optional thought. You could simply say, this is suffering. And that would adequately describe the situation and would also be more helpful. But the thing is, you have to catch the mind in the act of applying that particular perception. It will do it repeatedly, again and again and again. That's what clinging is. It's holding on to a particular thought and just repeating it again and again and again. When you can see that happening, you realize you've got the choice to drop it. You don't have to keep hitting yourself over the head. This is the same principle that applies to right speech. As the Buddha said, there are things that may be true, but if they're not useful and if it's not the right time for them, you don't say them. Take that principle and apply it to the mind, your inner conversation. There may be perceptions which in one way or another are true enough, but they're not useful, and this is not the right time because they're actually causing you suffering, so why bring them in? If it's the physical side of the suffering that seems oppressive, it's good to take things apart in terms of the properties, earth, water, wind, fire. Say there's a pain in your knee. Look at these sensations you've got around that pain in the knee. which ones are just physical sensations and which ones are feeling, i.e. which ones are rupa or form and which ones are feeling. Any sense of heat is form, any sense of movement is form. Coolness, solidity, these things are all form, but then there's the feeling of pain that sort of flickers among them, and it's something different. It's a different aggregate. This is where the aggregates and the elements can get together. But when we have distinguishing between feeling and form, it's just that. Try to see which sensations in that sensation of pain are simply the aggregates of form, the properties of the body. Try to tease these things out. This is the work of discernment. It discerns distinctions. It sees things clearly. This is why it's called discernment. You could translate it as wisdom, but that is an entirely different connotation. Remember when I was practicing with the John Fung that first year, and he'd keep saying, use your banya, which is the Pali word and the Thai word. And at that time, all I knew was wisdom, wisdom. And I said, I don't have any wisdom. He says, of course you've got some. If you're a human being, you've got some. And I begin to realize, maybe he's talking about something else. And finally realized it was discernment, seeing distinctions, being able to tease things out. So we're not here trying to gain the wisdom that lets us simply accept things. Sometimes people think that that's the ultimate wisdom in Buddhism, learn to be equanimous, patient, accepting of everything. Suffering comes, well, you say, well, this is just the nature of experience, that's the way it is. Craving comes, well, just accept the craving, that's the way it is. And that's the beginning part of discernment, is finally admitting what's going on. But then, as the Buddha said in his first sermon, it's not just knowing the truth, that this is the way things are. There's a duty, or there's a task you can do with each of these things. When they're suffering, you try to comprehend it. And comprehending it doesn't mean simply accepting it. It means ferreting out what are the bits and pieces from which it's constructed. What are the raw materials of suffering? It's just these things: form, feeling, perception, fabrication, consciousness. And if you look at the suffering in those terms, it takes a lot of the sting out. Because you see the perception that it's my suffering or that I'm suffering. It's just that. It's a moment in the mind. But it brings a big sting with it. So you have the choice not to say that to yourself, not to think in terms of those perceptions. And you find that as you take it apart, tease it apart this way, there's less and less and less suffering. That big mass of suffering gets broken down into little bits. And as in the image of the cannon, it finally gets winnowed into a high wind and blown away. Because you realize that you've been the one that's been gluing all these pieces together and then weighing yourself down. The biggest ingredient in this glue is this sense that I'm the one who's suffering. This is my suffering. This is happening to me. I'm in the midst of this suffering, or I am the suffering, or the suffering is in me. And the Buddha has you take this sensation of suffering and tease it apart in terms of the aggregates. And then ask, is each of these aggregates, is this something in me? Am I in it? Is this mine? Is this me? And as you're able to look at these things, and it's not like it's going to be a little block that you could sit there and watch. It's going to be a very quick event in the mind, especially the mental khandhas. But if you learn simply to observe it as, there is this, that's all. You see that the mind can learn how to approach difficult situations, pain in the body, anything difficult, anything that would make you suffer. And you realize that you have the choice to think in ways that would make you suffer or to not. because you can see these events happening. That's what discernment is all about. Ferreting these things out and realizing that they are individual events in the mind. And you don't have to glue them together in the old way. You can look at them from a different standpoint. This is what the Dharma does. It gives us a new frame from which to look at things. This is why Dharma talks are not just here for information. The whole point is to make you look at things in a whole new way, applying the Four Noble Truths to your experience. It's a framework that the Buddha gives you. It's not only the framework for his teachings, but it's the framework that he would like you to apply to your experience. But it's hard to shift frameworks. We're used to our old frameworks. And so we just bring the Four Noble Truths in as new information. And if it's just that, just a piece of news you've heard, really doesn't make that much difference. But if you make up your mind, you're going to look at everything from this perspective. And keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. You find that you can start applying it in all sorts of situations, and it's really useful. Because it not only points out the way things are, but also shows what you can do about it. So you don't have to suffer from the way things are. So try to get the mind still enough so that your discernment gets more and more refined, more and more subtle. It works in stages. The more still the mind can be, the more refined your discernment can be. The more subtleties you can see. And the more you can put an end to your suffering. And John Fuang used to say that the discernment that comes from concentration is special. It goes deeper into the mind. And you've heard the topics of discernment. Four Noble Truths, Five Aggregates, Six Sense Spheres, Properties, the Dependent Core Rising. You can hear it and you can think about it and you can talk about it. But if you don't actually see these things in action, it doesn't go to your heart. The whole purpose of concentration is so you can see them in action. They're very quick, they're very subtle, so you have to be very, very still. But if you see them in the stillness, the understanding goes straight to the heart. And that's where it really can make a difference.